kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
This teaching, doing what Christ would do in that situation. Doing what Christ would do in that situation. Have you ever considered when you find yourself in a situation where you're not quite sure, or you feel you are out of your depth, or whatever it would be, do you ever think about what would Christ do in this situation? I think it's very important to consider that and to hold that view in your mind and heart, because that immediately opens up not ideas, but considering what he would do in this situation. And this is why I make so much emphasis about the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us, and that we really don't know what to say or do unless he leads and guides. Now, this is not of to say that we simply stand back and we may see a situation or a crisis and we wait to hear a voice from heaven to tell us what to do. That is not what I'm talking about. You see, you have to believe that either the Holy Spirit in your life is guiding and leading you and at times speaking through you, or he is not. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And very often it can help one when we are faced in a situation to consider what Jesus would do in this situation. Because if he lives in my life, baptized in the Holy Spirit, then he will have his way. And very often when we find that we respond in a situation, it can be encouraging, because that is an indication to you that is probably what Jesus would do were he here in the flesh. And we really do need to get this down from our heads to our hearts. And that's why I'm calling this teaching today, Doing What Christ Would Do in That Situation. And we're going to start off with this in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Because this is where I'm basing this teaching today, in Galatians 6 and verse 10. Therefore, we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So the apostle says to the church at Galatia, you have opportunity to do good. And why not? Because that reveals our Father's heart. We certainly expect God to do good to us. Therefore, we likewise should do that as well, especially to the household of faith. And we'll look at that in a minute. But I want us to lead up to this verse, because very often these great verses, we need to lead toward them exactly what is being said. And if you look at verses 7 onwards to 10, it says this: do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So we see very clearly that there are two laws set in the universe, in this world. the law of life and the law of death. And we have a free will, a choice in which to choose which path. Because he says, whatever you sow, that you will also reap. Now, of course, we know that Christ, he sowed to that which was the will of his Father. We know this because he said, I do only that which the Father reveals. So he reaped on that which he sowed. And that enabled him to be able to finally go to the cross in which to offer himself up as that sacrifice in which we can and are redeemed. But it goes on. He says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap not blessing but corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. This is an important verse in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So, of course, we know that this is not always easy in the natural. This can only be achieved by sowing to that of the Spirit and not of the flesh. And so because we sow to the Spirit, we walk and move and live by the Spirit, we're not to grow weary or to lose heart. Why is that there? Because it takes time. We have to learn the things of the Spirit and not of the flesh. And this is why God renews our minds. Our minds are under deliverance and healing. Particularly when we come and meet together and where God speaks to us and teaches us from his word, our minds are being renewed for the purpose so that we can sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. And the apostle says, don't lose heart in this, because this takes time. It is a work. It is a work in progress. You may very well desire to do what Christ would do in this situation. We all desire that. If we love the Lord and we're truly born again, we want to be Christ-like. That's what it means to be Christian. But we're not to lose heart in this because it takes time. Just in passing, it takes time because maybe God is working deliverance in you where you maybe are still holding resentment or unforgiveness, or you have been critical towards someone or whatever the situation. That's a problem that you have, and God has to work a change of mind and thinking. It's called, of course, love, forgiveness. This is what he means here when we are in a work of progress and don't lose heart. You see, we're not going to do good in a situation if we don't like that person. Because it's speaking here in verse 10, especially to the household faith, to the body. We still can have wrong attitudes towards our brother or sister in the body, in the church, or the assembly that you are baptized into. And the apostle says, don't lose heart in this, because God's working in you both to will do for his good pleasure, for the purpose that you can do good in this situation. You can do what Jesus would do. But we don't always do what Jesus would do, because God is still working with us. And that's why we stay with it. That's why we keep coming. We keep under the Word, because the Word of God is our deliverance. It's our healing. For this very purpose, that we can walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. We've already read it to you, that those who sow to the flesh will reap what they sow to the flesh. But those who sow to the Spirit will reap that of the Spirit. And that is how our Lord walked, by that example. And this, of course, is absolutely vital, that we sow to the Spirit, because this is essential for our fellowship, for our gathering together unto Him. It's absolutely vital. The body should be a body that walks after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And that is why the Word of God is so vital for this. And that's why these verses leading up to verse 10 is so vital to understand. And now we can see this in a different light in verse 10, which says this: therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And that is what it should be. We should do good to our brother and our sister. But we don't always do good to our brother and sister, because God is still having to deal with self. We still put self first before our brother or our sister. And that is a clear sign that God is working with you to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Because otherwise, we won't do what Christ would do in that situation. Because God wants you to hold that. He wants that in your mind and your thinking. He wants that principle working every day in your life. What would Christ do in this situation? And it doesn't take long to know what He would do. The first thing He would do is forgive and have mercy and grace. And He would accompany that in action, in whatever way He could help make life that little easier and happier for that brother or sister. That is the heart and motive that we should have together in the body of Christ. If Christ's body is to function and be a light. We know how far we go as believers and as lights in this world by our love for Christ's body. There are sadly still too many professing believers, very proficient in the Word, in the doctrines, but they do not have a love for Christ's body. You cannot separate it. If you love Jesus, you love His body, which is an example, an expression of Him still on this earth. The body of Christ is to reflect Jesus to a dying world. We, each of us, have a responsibility. And that's why the apostle says, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in this. Even though God may be exposing things in the church or exposing something in a brother or sister, don't lose heart. And he says this for a reason. Because we are all a work in progress. None of us have got it right yet. We're still in this race, running towards the goal, the finishing line. Even the Apostle Paul said this of himself as well. Now, it's interesting, this word in verse 10, it says that, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. This word, opportunity, it means that which is acceptable to God. It's honorable. It's upright. This is what he means. So, in other words, our doing good has to be acceptable to God. And the only way it can be acceptable to God is to have that thinking in our mind, what would Jesus do in this situation? Is it honorable? Is it acceptable? Are my actions right? Will this help my brother, my sister? Will this edify the body of Christ, what I'm doing, what I'm saying? These are things that we have to consider if we are a part, because we're a part of each other. Our actions affect our brothers, us, and sisters. And this is why we cannot live a nomadic life, separated on our own, separated from the body of Christ. That is, it's certainly not healthy, and it's not what God intends if we truly are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which of course he does in Jesus Christ. So we're not to limit him, what he can and what he will do through you, if you are sowing to the Spirit and not to the flesh. And very often the flesh is self, being self-centered. That is the difference. Now, what does Titus have to say about this? Young Titus, a lovely book this, Paul encouraging this young pastor in this church at Crete. And what does he say here? In Titus 1 and verse 8, be hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, and holding the faith, and so on. So he says, be hospitable, kind, have time for one another, communicate. That's what he means. It means all the body of Christ, not just having your favorites. A lover of what is good. Is this not good, what God is sharing with us? Does it not inspire us to say, yes, amen, this is good? Because this is what the family of God is about. And he says, be sober-minded. And you could refer that to considering, would Jesus do this in this situation? That means to have a sober mind, not to be moved by emotions. Now, emotions have its place, but we cannot build fellowship on emotions and feelings, because they change like wind. It can only be built on faith and commitment and belief in the Word of God. Why? Because it's just and holy. It's controlled, in other words. Our fellowship, our love for each other and for Christ is controlled. It doesn't get out of control. You see, whatever God builds and does, it's controlled. It's not out of control. Unlike what man does, it's different. Why is it controlled? Because it has to last. It's about God's glory. It's about a light that shines upon a hill for the world to see. And we forget sometimes that that is what FGA is about, and other assemblies where God is building around the world. What does it say in Titus 3 and verse 8? This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Am I watching these good works that God wants to work through me? In other words, what would I do in this situation? You see, our faith has to be active, and we have much about faith in this church and believing. But at the end of the day, faith has to produce works that glorify God. We don't do it round the other way. It's not works that glorify God. It is faith that glorifies God, and our faith produces the works. There's the difference. And so the emphasis is here, we have the opportunity. And how often have we missed those opportunities? And he says they're to be acceptable to God. This is not about atoning for our sins. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what is acceptable to God, what glorifies him. Because these are the rewards that we will have in eternity. And that's why we should use every opportunity to improve ourselves on this. Unless this teaching today spurs us, even provokes us, to say to God, Lord, improve me, work in me in this for your glory, then this teaching has failed. You see, we should avoid the idea that I've done good. I've been good to my brother. I don't have to do it anymore. I've gone that extra mile for her, or for him, or whatever it is. So I've done my bit. Oh, we have to avoid that one. We really, really do. And we've all done this. You know, there's nothing more I can do for that person. I've gone the extra mile many times. It's up to them now. I leave them with God. No. That isn't what Jesus would do in that situation. Now, maybe physically there's not any more you could do, but you don't give up on them in prayer, intercession. You find yourself saying, Lord, I don't know what else in this situation, but Father, have mercy on them. Don't give up on them. Do whatever it takes to get their attention. Don't let this soul be lost. That is the intercessions and mercy of God interceding through you. Love never gives up. Love never fails. It always believes and believes the best. That should be our heart and motive. And that's where true fellowship, koinonia, is built on that heart and spirit amongst God's people. What does Romans 12, verses 12 to 16 tell us? Romans 12, and verses 12 to 16. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Wow. Just listen to that. What God says, this is what makes our fellowship, our unity, our oneness. Does it not? It's all about communicating. It's all about being interested in our brothers and sisters and not being consumed about ourselves and our latest trial that we're going through or whatever it would be. Because otherwise, we're going to become very insular and very inward looking, and we shut ourselves away. And we do it and we justify ourselves. Well, I'm shutting myself away, or I'm not going to do anything here because they don't believe like I believe. They're not holding to the word like I hold to the word. Well, maybe they don't yet understand the word like you do. And by your example of going that extra mile, they will come to learn the word that will deliver them and set them free. It's so easy to have that attitude. It's a religiousness because they don't believe like I believe. I don't think Jesus would do that in that situation at all. And some people are just religious in doing good. And they won't do a thing unless they seek God first. I know some Christians, I've seen it, they won't help in a situation. No, I have to go and seek God first and get his guidance. And that's just often a cop-out. The question is, am I doing what Jesus would do in this situation? I don't see anywhere in the Bible where Jesus and the needs that came to him and the press and the crowds pressing in, I don't see anywhere where he says, no, hang on a minute, I've got to go and seek my Father, seek his will in this. You won't find any verse or scripture of that, but we do it. Why? Because we're still sowing to the flesh. And the flesh is self, me, I. That is the worst disease that we have. I call it the I syndrome. Me, self, I. And God has to deliver us from this. And the only way we get delivered from this is that we too daily take up our cross and follow him. Because the cross will deal with the self-life. God will put it to death for the life of Christ to live in and through us. Where we can confidently say it's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. And he'll do it. Because it's not by might nor by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. You get those also, sadly, in the house of God that will hold back so that someone else will do it. And we've seen that. And we've done it. But again, that doesn't answer the question, doing what Christ would do in that situation. Or we have the attitude, why me? It's always me. It always falls on me. Is it about time somebody else stepped up? Gosh, we can so easily take on those attitudes, and we have to be so careful. That is why the Bible says so clearly that love covers a multitude of sins. Maybe we'll begin to understand what this really means in 1 John 5:16. Let's just have a look at it as we bring this now to a conclusion. 1 John 5 and 15. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16 of 1 John 5. It says, if anyone sees his brother sinning, a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask, and he will give him life. For those who commit sin, not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. And he goes on about all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not leading to death. So there are sins that do not lead to death. And God wants us to be sensitive to that. You see, we need to be sensitive how the Holy Spirit is leading, because we can use our discernment where there are those that are falling into sin and error or gradually falling away. And we have to be very careful when the Holy Spirit highlights that to us with a brother or sister, that we don't start gossip and criticizing about this. God shows you, and it's between you and God, about this situation you are praying and interceding on. For you are seeing that this is causing sin and falling away. But too often we lose it because we start to gossip and criticize. You see, God reveals to us through discernment. That's why you have it. So that we take on the responsibility of the soul of that person in prayer and intercession. God has given you discernment. He's opened your eyes for that purpose, to take on the burden of intercession. What Christ does now, see the right hand of the Father, that's what he does. Thank God he is perfect love. Thank God he doesn't give up on us. And that's what he wants of us. That's our responsibility. Why? Because that is what Christ would do in that situation. We intercede in accordance to what he says. And that's what he says here in verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask him and he will give him life for those who commit sin. In other words, you are appealing to God. You are asking God. It's all about God speaking to us, what he would have us do. You see, so many Christians miss it because they are not listening to Christ's mind speaking to us. We are very good at reciting scripture, but we are not so good having the mind of Christ and hearing what he is saying. That is what sorts out the men from the boys. That is what makes us sensitive to the Spirit and to each other. We should have that sensitivity. The Christian life is about doing what is right, what Christ would do in the situation. That should be our heart's desire. I want to know that. I want to live by that example as you lived and walked. And he will do that. And this is how fellowship will become fruitful. This is how it will grow. This is where you will be blessed. You will be happy. You will be fruitful instead of miserable and down and depressed, which sadly too many are in the house of God. We are our own worst enemy at times. God is really setting captives free through this teaching today. And it's so easy, it's practical. It's not religious. It's not where we're competing with one another. It's where you humble yourself and you bow the knee in his presence. Lord, build your body through me. I'm a part of it. You've set me into it. Whether an ear, an eye, an arm or a leg or whatever. Let me be fruitful. Let my life be helping to build. So that this stands, so that it is a light to the world. It is a testimony. It's loving his body, because if you love Christ, you love his body. And there are too many Christians who have such little insight of what really the true body of Christ is. We've still got this religious mindset of the body. That's why the Apostle Paul reveals and shows it as a living organism, functioning like our bodies are functioning, fearfully and wonderfully made, fit together. Every part of your body is working so that your body can function. And it's exactly the same. And we miss it too often because it's so simple, practical. It's doing what Christ would do in this situation. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. That's something for us to consider. And I believe, take before God in prayer and intercession. The Lord loves us. He knows we are a work in progress. We don't all get it. But we're all in this race together. Let's encourage one another. Let's have love one for another, time one for another, and watch what God will do. Because we're believing for the greater works in these last days. But he's not going to pour his spirit on a divided church, a church that does not love and care and have time for each other and puts fellowship first before ourselves, our needs, our wants. I know it's not easy because we are scattered. We're all around, some of us are around the world, but that principle still applies to each of us, what we've heard today, and that is doing what Christ would do in that situation. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word again. Lord, you would not address us in this way unless it is possible and unless you are doing a work in and through us. So Lord, we lay our lives before you. We come humbly before you and we ask, do that work through me. Help build your church through me. For your glory, and Lord, make me sensitive to do whatever you would do in whatever situation I find myself in. Father, please work this from the head to the heart. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Disaster, let him in constant. and see, for